Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
It's Monday, August the 3rd. Welcome to Africa Link with me, Abubakar Jallo, in Bonn, Germany. Coming up, Burundi's former head of intelligence and close aide to President Nkurunziza has been assassinated.
The gunmen wearing military uniforms and with red berets. There was a rocket attack against the car. Shimimana was caught. It seems he was taken to the hospital, but it was announced that he died.
And South Africa's firebrand politician Julius Malema is to appear in court today on charges of fraud and money laundering.
He's expected to appear at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the situation is already tense. The police have announced that they expect thousands of supporters to come and support Malema. Roads have been closed around the court, and they're just not taking chances.
These stories plus learning by air coming in the next 25 minutes. Stay tuned.
Top story.
Further crisis in Burundi as General Adolphe Nshimirimana, former head of intelligence, has been assassinated in a drive-by shooting. On Sunday, unknown gunmen in a vehicle shot Nshimirimana and his bodyguard with a rocket while driving in the Komenge neighborhood of the capital Bujumbura. The spy chief was instrumental in foiling an attempted coup in May. Our correspondent Apollinaire Nyirora has been telling me what happened.
It was this Sunday around 9 in the morning. It was in a neighborhood called the Kamenge near the University Hospital when a car which has on board Lieutenant General Adolphe Nshimirimana was ambushed by gunmen. Witnesses said the gunmen wearing military uniforms and with red berets. So there was a rocket attack against the car. Nshimirimana was caught, and it seems he was taken to the hospital, but later it was announced that he died.
Now, Apollinaire, who was the man himself, General Adolphe Nshimirimana, and what was his relationship with President Pierre Nkurunziza?
Adolphe Nshimirimana was currently an official in charge of missions at the president's office, and he has been an ally and a friend of the president because they were together when they were in the rebellion of the CNDD-FDD, when they were still fighting in the bush. They were together, so they were close friends. And Adolphe Nshimirimana used to be the intelligence chief also for several years. So he was a close ally and a friend to President Pierre Nkurunziza.
What do you think could be the possible reason for the assassination of General Nshimirimana?
One of the possible reasons is that he participated to the neutralization or the crackdown on protest against the third term bid of President Pierre Nkurunziza. Another reason is that he's one of the generals who foiled the coup plot on May the 13th. So Adolphe Nshimirimana has played two key roles in the crackdown against protests.
Do you think this could lead to further instability in Burundi?
It's possible. This could lead to instability because after the attack against the car of Nshimirimana, there was a sort of tension between Kamenge. Kamenge is a place where the attack took place. A Hutu-dominated neighborhood and Ngagara, which is a Tutsi-dominated neighborhood, there is still tension up to now. People in Ngagara were told to stay inside their houses because the youths from Kamenge wanted to attack Ngagara. So soldiers came and blocked the way to the youths from Kamenge.
Apollinaire Nyirora in Bujumbura. General Adolphe Nshimirimana has been working as aide and right-hand man to President Nkurunziza. Could his death throw Burundi deep into turmoil? I put that question to Yolande Boka, intelligence analyst with the Institute for Security Studies in Kenya.
Well, I think what we're going to see or what we're seeing at the moment is a reminder that the crisis in Burundi is far from being over. We saw the last presidential elections and the senatorial elections taking place in a climate of calm, though we know that those elections were not free and fair. But this assassination sends a clear message that the environment in which all these things are taking place in Burundi are unlikely to see things calm down.
There is also discussion, and it's been speculated that since General Nshimirimana was a close ally and friend of President Nkurunziza, and he also helped unplot the recent coup attempt and played a vital role in quelling down the riots in the capital, Bujumbura. People speculate that this could have triggered his assassination. What do you say to that?
Well, it may be a contributing factor. It may be the reason. General Ladolphe have a large number of enemies. And he was, in fact, as you've mentioned, key to securing Bujumbura and Burundi in order to squash the coup attempt in May of this year. Therefore, his response following the coup was one that was very aggressive, very violent. There's been allegations of violation of human rights of military officers who were alleged to have been involved in the coup. So this could be retaliation for the way some of those officers were treated during the attempt to retake control of the city. But again, as I've mentioned, this is all speculation. So we need to wait and see in the days to come what comes out of either investigations, or maybe you will have some of these individuals claiming responsibility for the assassination.
People have been saying that since the opposition, who also opposed President Nkurunziza's bid for a third term, since some of this opposition are also participating in the current parliament and the government, that the violence must have stopped by now.
Yes, but let's remember that the opposition is not a united opposition. Agathon Rwasa has joined parliament, and this may have made some of his associates happy, but I am certain that some members of the FNL may not be satisfied with that decision. And his joining the parliament does not necessarily mean, however, that the entire opposition is behind him.
Yolande Boka, intelligence analyst with the Institute for Security Studies.
Africa Link, every weekday on DW Deutsche Welle.
A court in Ghana has sentenced a 36-year-old man for attempting to assassinate the president, John Mahama. Last week, the man, Charles Antwi, went to the Assemblies of God Church, where Mahama attends Sunday prayer services, with a pistol hidden in his pocket. Mahama's guards detected the pistol, and Antwi was arrested before he could pull the trigger. Antwi is believed to be mentally ill, but his attempt to kill the president has triggered a debate on Ghana's gun laws, as a Kaleji reports.
The convicted man, Charles Antwi, was arrested at an Assemblies of God church where the president worships on Sundays. John Mahama was not there himself, but his children were. 36-year-old Antwi, who was wielding a loaded gun, was picked up by security officials. He reportedly said during interrogation that he wanted to become president, and the only way to do that was to kill the sitting president. An officer of Ghana's court and a lawyer, Godwin Tamaklu, was present at the 30-minute trial. He explains what led to the judge jailing Antwi for 10 years.
The accused person had put in place some preparatory works, and the judge then came to the conclusion that on the totality of this, and that if he has succeeded, the security implication to the state, the offense is one that carries a maximum sentence of 10 years.
The suspect had no legal representation, and prosecutors had sought for more time to complete their investigations after relations of Charles Antwi said he had a history of mental illness. Kwame Opoku is a brother of the convicted man.
He traveled to Libya and continued to Italy, and that was where he went mad. He was treated for some time before being flown back to Ghana. During this period sickness, he actually built a house for his mother and started driving a taxi. But he also told us he wanted to become the president. He has been mentally ill for 5 years now.
Some legal practitioners criticized the swiftness with which the judge ruled on the matter in spite of the revelations by family members about the suspect's mental health status. The verdict can be appealed, but so far there is no sign of this happening. The incident has sparked debates over Ghana's gun control laws. Lawmakers are moving quickly to review the laws to make it more difficult for people to acquire and possess guns without proper mental assessment. Dominic Azuma is a member of parliament.
We're in a third world country. And with the kind of crimes being committed left and right, if you don't control the possessions of guns, you allow the society to be subjected to all kinds of threats.
There are over 2 million weapons in the hands of Ghanaians, and efforts to retrieve these guns have become a challenge for security officials. Perhaps the botched attempt on the life of the president will lead to drastic steps to address the issue.
Isaac Kaleji reporting from Accra. The stakes are high for South Africa's firebrand politician and leader of the Economic Freedom Fighters Party. Julius Malema is appearing in court today on 55-count charges for fraud and money laundering. Malema is in court along with his business associates Lesiba Kwangwan and Kagiso Dichaba. State prosecution said Malema and his associates managed a criminal enterprise that lied about their business record to win a 52 million rand, that's $4 million tender, from the Department of Roads and Transport in Limpopo province. Our correspondent Tuzo Kumalo has been telling me more.
Yes, Julius Malema will appear in court in Polokwane province. He is facing charges of corruption, racketeering and money laundering. These charges are just complicated. Malema has a family trust called Ratanang, and this family trust owns some 50% shares in a company called Gilda Investment. And this Gilda Investment, it owns 33% of shares in a company called On Point Engineering. This company called On Point Engineering used false information in 2012 to secure a $5 million tender from the Limpopo government. And the state then alleges that indirectly Malema was also involved, because the directors of these other companies were also brought to court. They are also out on bail and they are facing charges. And Malema is also listed as the co-accused.
What time will he be appearing in court today?
He's expected to appear at 9 o'clock in the morning, and the situation is already tense. The police have announced that they expect thousands of supporters to come and support Malema. Roads have been closed around the court, and they're just not taking chances. They want to make sure when he appears and when the trial goes on, everything is in place.
Now, this is not the first time a corruption allegation has been brought against Julius Malema. Will this be thrown away in court just like the previous corruption allegations?
It is going to be very interesting to see if these charges are going to be thrown away, because the court has to prove that Malema, although he received these funds through a third company, he knew directly that the funds were proceeds of crime, which is a bit difficult for the state to prove that. But at the same time, according to the law that looks into commercial crimes, Malema cannot also say, "I did not know," because he received about 16 transactions from the On Point company, which received an illegal tender from the government.
What do South Africans think about this allegation against Julius Malema?
When this case came up, the talk from the public was, the young man is being targeted is because he has fought with the ANC, and people could tell that most of these things happened when Malema was still a member of the ANC and there was no talk about it. Then when he came out, this is when it started. So there is a section of the society that's saying the charges are coming up because Malema is now a victim of the government vendetta, because he's fighting with the government. But on the other side, there are some people who are saying he should face the music. He has been talking about Zuma being corrupt, and now he has to own up to his own actions and not cry foul and not blame Zuma or the government for it.
Tuzo Kumalo in Johannesburg. It's time now to sit back and enjoy an episode of the Crossroads Generation, a Learning by Ear production.
Deutsche Welle, Learning by Ear. Listen up, shape your future.
Hello and welcome back to our ongoing radio novella, Crossroads Generation, about the struggles faced by young Africans.
We're standing at the crossroads. We're looking for today.
We continue today with the 16th episode. Last time, Summers and Noni's father Paolo was arrested for making his children beg for money in the streets.
Please arrest this man and find his daughters. We'll take them with us.
Paolo, you are under arrest for using your children to solicit for money and for obstructing justice.
It was Anita who informed the Child Welfare Department and the police about what was happening to Summer and her disabled sister, Noni. Anita is a teacher at Kisimba Special School. With the permission of Mrs. Morgan from the Child Welfare Department, Anita took Sama and Noni under her wing following their dad's arrest. Anita and the students at her school are also involved with a group of young activists for environmental protection, and its first cleanup day is coming up. Also in the last episode, Anita's friend Mercy paid a visit to Dr. Florence. She discussed with her the possibility of having a healthy baby with her HIV-positive husband, with a very low risk of becoming infected herself.
Well, I may be able to help you if you're quite sure you know what you're getting yourselves into, but you need to come and see me together.
Sounds like good news. We are back with Dr. Florence for the start of today's episode, A Sigh of Relief. This time, Mercy and Nikki have come together to find out more.
Hello, I'm Dr. Florence. You must be Nikki.
Yes, that's right. Good to meet you.
Hi, Mercy. Glad you could make it.
We couldn't wait, Doctor. We're so excited.
Great. Shall we get straight to the point?
Yes, Doctor. I've already told Nikki about what you said last time.
Nikki, I assume you're on ARVs?
You mean antiretrovirals? The medicine to control the HIV infection? Yes. And Mercy always makes sure I take the drugs on time.
Good. The ARVs help to reduce your viral load. This is the amount of HIV in your blood. The lower it is, the better. Now, before we go any further, there are a few things you need to know. Yours is a special kind of relationship. Well, there are several ways of dealing with your situation. First of all, we have to make sure that we protect the uninfected from infection. This means that you too should continue practicing safer sex using condoms.
Yes, doctor.
As regards the actual conception, two options are available. One is the natural way, meaning intercourse. If you choose this way, Mercy, we'll have to start you on your own therapy. We call it pre-exposure prophylaxis.
And what's that?
It's a therapy where you take a pill daily to reduce your chances of getting infected.
Really? And that works?
Well, research has proven that it minimizes the risk of infection, but doesn't eliminate it entirely. The chance of not getting infected is better if Nikki's viral load is so low that it is undetectable. Another option is what we call sperm washing.
Sperm washing?
Yes. It's basically just what it sounds like, Nikki. We take your sperm and send it to a laboratory where the virus is eliminated. That's what's meant by washing. Then we perform a process called intrauterine insemination, where we introduce the sanitized sperm into the woman's womb.
Doesn't sound very romantic.
This method is safer compared to conception via unprotected sex, and you would still be having your own biological child.
But what's the risk of our baby being infected?
If we've washed the sperm, the risk is very low, as long as you both continue to do everything you can to prevent you, Mercy, from getting infected. I have to say, though, that this method is not cheap. I'd like you two to think about the options, and when you feel ready to proceed, let me know what you decide.
Okay? We will.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you very much for seeing us, Dr. Florence.
So, Mrs. Morgan, you've seen the improvements we have made at our school since your last visit. I hope the Child Welfare Department approves.
Well, Director Babu, it's a very important task and a great responsibility, taking care of children with special needs. And I'm impressed by the changes I've seen. For example, the ramps you've put in to make the school more accessible.
We have to thank Anita for that, madam. Since she came to work with us, a lot of things have changed around here. She sees things most of us don't think of.
You flatter me, Director.
No, you deserve it, Anita. Your idea that we should integrate the special students with others seems to be working well. The children with special needs are catching up with the others bit by bit, and the interaction between the children has positive effects on them all.
Anita, how's Noni doing?
She loves it here. It's only been a couple of days, but she's already picking up more words. I think she's learning a lot now she's finally able to interact with others. And her sister Summer has been helping too, ever since she joined the school.
Great. I have to go now, but I'll come and check up on you from time to time.
Okay. Thank you, Mrs. Morgan.
Not at all. Goodbye.
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 Anita, really? If you hadn't come and made all those suggestions, the school would have been closed down. I don't know how to thank you.
Well, if you don't mind, there's a favor I'd like to ask.
Anything?
Remember the cleanup activity I mentioned for Dance Environmental Project?
Yes.
You still haven't given me a final answer, and the day has come.
Oh, it's today?
In the afternoon, yes.
Okay. I agree that our students may join in. I think it will be a very useful activity.
Somebody please get me out of here! Hey, is someone there? I need to go back home. Please let me go.
Paolo, will you shut up in there?
Why am I locked in here? What did I do?
Ah, shut up. You're a guest of the state. No amount of shouting is going to get you released.
Please, officer, let me go. I'm sorry, I won't make my children beg again. I promise. Can't we talk about this?
You had your chance. The child welfare department offered to talk with you, but you refused. Now you're paying for it.
Please, officer, please.
You either shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you.
So, the day is finally here. I'm so proud of you, Tina and Anita, for mobilizing everyone. I didn't expect such a huge crowd.
You're welcome, Dan.
You don't have to thank us. Whatever is good for the environment is good for us too.
Yeah, you're right. Damn, it's so muddy, but I think we'd better start. Anita, you lead one group, and Tina and I will lead the other.
Okay. Okay. Children?
Yes?
We are here today to clean up Tandika. As we discussed, we're going to start over here and finish up at that end. Is that clear?
Yes, Madam Anita.
We'll pick up anything plastic and anything that looks like litter and put it in the wheelbarrows the boys will be pushing. Don't forget to put on your gloves before we start, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. Let's start. Let's make Tandika clean.
Yay!
And we'll start from here and go this way. We'll meet the other group in the middle, okay? Let's go.
It sticks like hell.
Oh. Yeah, and it's really slippery here with all this mud.
Ah!
Oh, Tina, careful. Here, let me help you.
Thanks for rescuing me, Dan. Dan?
Yes? What?
No, forget it.
Come on, tell me.
It's nothing. Just that I don't know what you'll think of me, but I kind of like you.
That's it for today. So, Tina likes Dan. And what about Dan? Does he like her too? We'll find out next time on Crossroads Generation, and we'll also hear what Mercy thinks of Tina's feelings. After all, Dan let Mercy down very badly when they were together, and Tina is Mercy's friend. Also, Nikki has recorded a new video blog for you. Check it out on our website, dw.de/LBE. Until next time, bye!
Before we go, a reminder of the main stories. Burundi's former head of intelligence, General Adolphe Nshimirimana, has been assassinated in a drive-by shooting on Sunday. A court in Ghana has sentenced a 36-year-old man for attempting to kill the president, John Mahama. In South Africa's firebrand politician, Julius Malema, will appear in court today on 55-count charges of fraud and money laundering. For comments and suggestions, send an email to feedback.africa@dw.com, a letter to AfricaLink, DW 53110 Bonn, Germany, or an SMS to country code 49160 957 59510. I'm Abubakar Jallo in Bonn.